short for the next few days. Hopefully that'll help. Okay, just on a commercial note, my schedule is a little bit different this Sunday. So, we're going to try to make this year Sunday, so we can get something at least at 9 o'clock. Is that okay with everybody? 9 o'clock? And I have to be somewhere, so I'll try to calculate how long that gives. Probably at least 45 minutes should be okay. And then on Monday, we're going to try to have the show at 1 o'clock, so we don't lose too much time. Either way, there's a midterm on Wednesday. So there's no show on Tuesday, but we will try to catch up and make up for the time. Again, I'm going to have to make some of the show just a little shorter, just to keep my voice from straining too much. Okay, so in terms of where we were, before I do that, let me just give you a couple of marcos for the next video. So again, we wanted to go through, hopefully we can even start today, if possible. The Gemara about by Matzei, so starting from the Gemara on Hay of the Vigs, going through at least through Vavam and Aleph until Motzei B'Sheyara. We'll start with that, and I'll give you some things to start with, and then maybe Sunday I'll expand the list. Okay, so at least on the first part. The Shaka Vataria here, again, maybe we'll get to it today, I hope, on the different psukim, and what each one is Marva, the Halamimus and the Skadis. So Gemara Rashi tells us Rambam, of course. Again, I'll add to this, but at least there's Malamor al Latar. People can hear it back? You know? Yeah? Okay, good. If not, just let me know. The Malamor, the end of the Malamor, in particular. Also, Tosas Rabbi and Parents in the end of the Ramaskal Va'od, and Tosas Shatz, the Ramaskal Shalcha, and Rabbi Hananel on the question of Kishasa and Lo Kishasa in the Gemara, and the Rashash also here, Alatar, Hale and Base on that question, and the Gra, Taf Min Gimel, Sif Katan Yon Aleph, and of course Rashi and Ramban ala Torah, Shmos Yud Gimel Zayin. We made reference to this already when we talked a little bit about this in Maskei Sefer. Getting issues and trying to figure out, those gray area cases. Shalcha Yantarah, Matarah, Shalcher, Shalcheroah. But what about, Machir and Yifgad and, Yisrael, intra-Yisrael issues, and even Hefker, as we discussed already. So there's also Shemesari to look at, if you have a chance. But I guess one thing at a time. So Rashi and Ramban, Shmos Yud Gimel Zayin, with the Chilta that's quoted by Rashi, and also the Kiddushei Ramban, here in Pesachim, on Vavam Aleph, and the Ritva Dibur Maskal, Namar and Biboros, and Rav David Bonfield, the Ramaskal Vedemar, the Rambam and the Chassadas, Parak Aleph Halacha Gimel, that we've seen already, and the Kesef Mishnah, and the Koteret of Chassadas. Also Sefer Mitzvos in the Lavin, Reish and Reish Aleph, the Smak, Sefer Mitzvos Katan, in other words, Lamed Dalet, Lamed Hei, and Lamed Vav. If you get a chance, the discussion in Rabbi Yochanan Bishop Perlo in Sefer Mitzvah Rav Sajikon, Mitzvah Kuf Samach Vav and Kuf Samach Zayin. And of course the background for this, which we did discuss last year, for those who were here, is the discussion of the Rambam Ramban in Shoresh Tes. What happens when the Torah Shepesav, multiplies Lavin? Do we multiply Malkus? And what about Minyan Mitzvahs? So generally, that's the debate between the Rambam and the Ramban. And there also seem to be exceptions from. Last year we discussed this in context of Tumura, because that comes up at the beginning of Chulin, right? Moyachli Fenu Belo Yamir. And I was comparing them to Bhagavad Gita as well. So that's something to look at. Then in terms of the level of the significance of Kabbalah Zacharias, look at the Rambam and the Raibid, Peridal Halakha Dalid, and the Rosh at the end of Siddhan Dalid. That's the one that we've already seen about Mafkin and Nifkan, Rebbe Yonah, the Rosh, etc., the Golden. Also look at Tosis in Babutsia on Pei Beis and Beis, Dibra Matsu Amor, and Tosis in Shavuos in Dalid of Dalid, Dibra Matsu Shomer. That's a question in general. Like what level of shmira or achrayas of shomrin is required, you know, for certain dinim. The din of Rabbi Yitzchak, as it applies to certain issues, ba'yirah, to be mekadesh isha, shmitas kesafim issues. This is like a larger topic. Again, we're not going to, you know, expand when we need to, but that background is important and compare it to Balyuah is critical as well. Then we hear it here also on pages 17 through 18, and the Rambam and the Raibid, of course, the famous one, Yodokos Skiris Karabes Alach HaGimel, that's the famous discussion of Shabrachina, you know, the Rambam's famous view that Poshea is Mazik. The Raibid strongly disagrees. And the Ritva here, Gibra Masko Ha, and the Mogen Avraham, Sin Tafnim Aleph. Again, I'll add some things, but certainly that's more than enough. We're not going to have all that, you don't have to have it all prepared by Sunday or Monday, but again, this is an important question of, you know, what's the Chayim of Bayou Matze, very much connected to the issues that we start talking about, we'll talk more about it. And again, what level of achrayas, there's obviously an intersection between this application, you know, and the general issues, like how do we assess Kabbalah's achrayas, you know, generally, and the gradations of that. So, well, you know, and then of course we'll talk a little bit in the continuation, you know, about whether Bible Sakum and Bible Sekvish are simply significant in terms of the absence of Bible Yisrael, or whether or not they're mafkia, they're poetry. We already talked about it a little bit in that previous discussion, but of course that comes up here too. So that's why it's also important to, and I'll give you second Marco comments for that, to pay attention to the continuation of the Gemara on Vav and Aleph about Behemas and Yuna and Chal, because they're interesting parallels. When it comes to Bechor, right, you need Bailas Yisrael, Bailas Akum is exempt. Similar in regard to Chal, but they may not be identical. And the question is, you know, are they or either of those identical to the situation in Bhagavad? So again, I made allusion to this already. You know, when we talked about other things, we talked about twice, once in Maskin Sakha and the other in the context of the Bintel Sangha, and especially the exchange between the Ramban and the Iri regarding Kafka. So it's, you know, it's just as we foreshadowed then, you know, to flesh these things out more. Sometimes we find, you know, that what you need is a prerequisite of bilus, and other times we find that it's bilus apoteris or bilus apkia, you know, which is the primary category. So these are different ways of, like if you have a massive chart, you know, you can, you know, see what everybody holds, and obviously that helps to get to the bottom of the issue. So these are things we want to like be thinking about as we read through the Shankara of the Gemaras, as well as the discussions that we showed him, which are built on some of these, you know, parallel equations or distinctions, etc. You see right away those Salatar discussing, you know, when do you need, we'll see it soon. Like when do you need a separate limud, you know, for Hektish and Akku? Or when do you need multiple limudim for Akku? You know, and of course, the bigger question, you know, when are there discrepancies between, you know, whether Hefker was Plato or not, etc. Or intra-Jewish, you know, strong Kaveh and so on. So these, you know, are the, there are a lot of, you know, practical questions, you know, if you want to be a posik in Tokos Kala, Bechor, and Trubis Maestris, never mind, Chavetz. So, you know, these are questions that come up, you have to know the answer to. But for our purposes now, they all are important evidence in terms of, you know, understanding the bigger picture of Bailos, Tanos, Apoteras, you know, the types of dinim that we're dealing with. And particularly by Rabbi Matze, which we'll speak more about today, you know, in our own context, we talk, you know, to what extent that is like a formal din, you know, what, again, what role Rabbi Yishmael is playing, etc. Okay, so that's going forward. I will give you more on the calls, even on the first part of the sugya. But let's hold on for that. You know, for the moment that we're going to move on, there's much more to talk about. Okay, trust me. Okay, so let's pick up first with what we were in the middle of, and that is the sugya we talked about. So, excuse me, just 1 second, let's make sure I have the right things in front of me. Yeah. So, just first of all, a quick order. I think the last thing that we were discussing was the question of Mitoch and Hetzroch HaNefesh, which we're looking at from two perspectives. Number one, if you all like the Riva, everybody can hear, by the way? Sorry, we'll just try to keep it lower. So, you can hear in the back. Okay, good. That's a yes. Okay. And you can hear on Zoom? Say that again? You're underrepresented? Oh, yes. Yes, you hear that everybody? They say that they feel unrepresented because they don't have the screen in the back. So first we should know, we're thrilled that you noticed that the, you know, the good efforts that have been expended under the app, you know, by Avraham and Avrami and all our, you know, scholarly technicians. But it seems that we're missing a computer today. We're not asking you to donate or anything like that. But because we're missing Avraham and the extra computer, the luxury of having an incredible technology that we've benefited from, you know, some people cynically are claiming that it's just to make you more appreciative of returns. But you know, I'm glad that you feel comfortable enough to share your disappointment. We're happy that you're disappointed, not because we want you to be disappointed, but because it's a reflection of the good hard work and incredible, immeasurable enhancement, you know, that has been accomplished there for us. So thank you for that. Okay. So we're getting into the issue of Mitoch very briefly, but I think it's a good opportunity for learning, you know, a Boeing topic. And, you know, and it's on Shabbos especially, so it's almost criminal not to speak at some point about Hetzroch HaNefesh and Mitoch. So we're not on a basis, so we're not doing the full court press, I guess. But it comes up twice. Number one, it comes up because the Gemara itself says the Shema Minavat is not Mitoch, and that's our next. We have to address that question more specifically in terms of the relationship between Gemara here and above. Hey, we base and Gemara Bava Vada, we're going to get to that in just a minute. But even before we got to that, It comes up because if it's true that Havara, Lelav, Yatsas, is excluded from Yom Tov, so we were addressing the question that the Rashash and other Achronim raise in the Gila, the Zayin of the Base, and some of the Base on the Gila. And that is, why is that not also included in the Ein Bein? And I was trying to suggest this broader idea, which is that Ein Bein Shabbos Yom Tov Ochel Nefesh Bilvad is a not an exhaustive list, not even a limited exhaustive list, which is the way many of the Rishonim and Mefarshim solve a host of problems. But I'm trying to suggest that it's kind of the embodiment, it's the formula for understanding, you know, the larger distinction. And that the basis for that would be to say that Hetero Kol Nefesh isn't just, you know, a function of a matir or overriding resulting from simcha, or maybe from weaker Yisrael Malacha even, but that it's a bigger point than that. And that is especially taking the view that there's an internal limit in Yisrael Malacha Yom Tov, and that this has to do with the nature of the relationship between Shabbos and Yom Tov being dialectical, as we discussed. So then, Hetero Kol Nefesh, you know, is the embodiment, let's say, of this distinction. So that requires that we have a certain view of how Hetero Kol Nefesh works, right? As well as, you know, being convinced that, you know, this description or depiction of the relationship between Shabbos and Yom Tov is an accurate one. Okay? From my point of view, both of those things are true. I don't think that they are universally or uniformly accepted by all Rishonim and Achronim. That's why we try to document other perspectives on Hetero Kol Nefesh in particular, as well as the relationship between Shabbos and Yom Tov. I mentioned in Chassidut, you know, who sees it differently, etc. I think there is vigorous, healthy debate on this topic. You know, if I was allowed to, you know, raise my voice more, I would get very excited about it. I am excited. I'm just trying to keep my voice down. But the basic idea, I think, has very strong roots, and I think it really explains a lot. And this is kind of the tip of the iceberg. Okay. So having said that, that would explain also things like Hilumakos and, you know, the you know, kind of cutting things off at the lab, or even the impact of certain, you know, Dine Yom Tov having an equivalent of an Aseh and others not, or that the role of the Aseh, you know, in Shabbos Yom Tov might be different. It's many of the things that we've discussed briefly, but I think these are all certainly connected. So the idea that this may be rooted in, let's say, the Ramban's understanding of the Lion's Avoda, I think is very crucial. I'll just give you another one of my favorite examples, something that I think is not well known, and that is the view of the Sefer HaMalik, which I think highlights this perspective. There's a major debate, I already touched on it when I talked about the Shabbos Arayim, regarding Rosh Hashanah and the Kedusha Seinu of Rosh Hashanah. And that is the practical question: is there is it appropriate to fast on Rosh Hashanah? Very fascinating question. Like, should Rosh Hashanah be more like Yom Kippur, you know, or more like Sukkot? Okay, so this is already an old debate, a debate between the Gaonim, and there's like a range of views. There is one, you know, view of the Gaonim that says that you should fast. Another view that you can fast, that's very fascinating, but not for now. But already in the Gaonim itself, and in the early Rishonim, you have this debate. So there's a suggestion that you know, maybe you should distinguish between Yom Tov and Shabbos during the Seder Yom Tov. Right? Maybe you know, that's that has a different sense. So the Sefer HaManik, he has the following argument. He says you're not allowed to fast on Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah, and Kol Shekein, you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos of Aseres Yom. What's a Kol Shekein? He says, after all, the Kedusha of Shabbos is more intense, it's superior to the Kedusha of Yom Tov. It's more chalak. The Halaya, there's no Hatzorachal Nefesh on Shabbos. So when you step back and think about that argument, right, it's a very remarkable argument. Think about it. The Manik is saying, the fact that there's no Heter Ochal Nefesh on Shabbos is more of a reason why you cannot fast on Shabbos. Right? Is there something wrong with that argument? So the answer is, if you take the view of the Shakasari, of the Nitzin, you know, namely, that the reason for Hetzolah Nefesh is the Chiyum of Simchat Suda. And in Shabbos, let's say we're more flexible on that point, because there's less intense obligation, because there is Oneg, not Simcha. So then if I ask you, is it easier to justify fasting on Shabbos from Yom Tov? Right? It should be done in Pashut. That it's easier to fast on Shabbos than on Yom Tov. The contrary. The fact that there's a Hetrochal Nefesh indicates that Yom Suda is more central. And if it's more central, then, you know, then it's less subject to, you know, to compromise. So when the Manik, you know, says that Shabbos, you know, is even less justified in terms of tzom than Yom Tov, because there's no Hetzorachal Nefesh, clearly what he means to say is two things, or several things. Number one, he's saying that Hetzorachal Nefesh, or not, is a sheer in Kedusha Seyom, the intensity. The more Yisrael Malacha, the more Kedusha. Okay? That's number one. And number two is assuming that the ability to fast is a function of less Kedusha Seyom. It's also fasting. But certainly what he's assuming is, this follows, is that Hetzor Nefesh has nothing to do with the press, how pressing or overriding the obligation of Sud of the Simchas. Right? It's simply a shear in the intensity of Yisrael Malacha. So that's a very, I think. So I'm suggesting that, you know, in the Ramban, it's hard to know because the Ramban, as I say, doesn't tell you, doesn't say, you know, Parshas Bo, you know, teaches us the facts. And Parshas Emor and so on, being Lex Avoda, the designation, is the real conceptual Hagdara. I think that's what Ramban means. Okay? Anyway, there are many other ideas, of course, implications. But in the Rishonim, I believe. Anyway, so Moshe mentioning, where's Moshe? Moshe Blank. Is he here somewhere? All the way in the back. You can hear me in the back. Moshe? Yeah? Okay, good. I can try to keep it in this register, even though it annoys me to have to do that. So Moshe mentioned to me that, you know, the Tosis in Arabic, Pesachim, this is a big discussion that we show them generally. Moshe, I don't know if we can hear you, but you can probably shout. You don't have a problem. Probably I can't hear you, though. So then, referring to, that's the issue of Hamadala from Shabbos Tiyantin, correct? The Tosas and Arde Pesachim. And others discuss this question from Amdo Bein Kodesh Lachol, Amdo Bein Kodesh Lachodesh, you know, Bein Kedushas Yom Tov, Bein Kedushas Yom Tov, Bein Kedushas Yom Tov, So there are quite a few Rishonim who suggest that, and who formulate that, Kedusha Shabbos is more intense, right, because of the Isra of fact that there's no Hatzot HaKol Nefesh. It's very similar to, again, not quite as dramatic as well as it's quoted in Sefer HaMaalik. But, you could have argued on the contrary. If you have a Chiyuv Suda V'Simcha, that's just a different kind of Kedusha. Not lesser. So that's a very fascinating thing. I'll tell you something else. And that is the whole discussion of Ner Shoshanas on Yom Kippur. In my opinion, it's a very interesting thing. For some reason, Pukhazima Madavar, Kali Yisrael Kinder, it's a small product, when you think about it. Every halal is important, of course. There's so much discussion about Yom Shabbos, I can think. Holy Yom Kippur, revolves around how you do a proper Havdalah, afterwards. It's like caught people's imagination. But I think that the Yisod of it, since it did catch people's imagination, so it always I felt it was, it had to be Hashgacha, why are people so obsessed about Ner Shoshanas on Yom Kippur? But I think that, again, this contrast between Shabbos, and Yom Kippur, but I think it too is very much related to, just as we talked the other day, Havdalah, I think Josh was pointing out, Ben B'chai, in his Perish Allah Torah, that, Havara plays such an important role in terms of Yisrael. But particularly on Yom Kippur, right, accentuating, that you didn't violate, Havara, and that's a bit of Ner Shoshanas. Why? What's the point? But I think the answer is because Yom Kippur, again, is not exactly Kilo Shabbos Kamalat or Shabbat Kimla ourselves. Right? It should have been a candidate for Heter Olam Nefesh because it's a Yom Kippur. Right? On the other hand, it's Shabbos Shabbos. And when we tried to explain, right, and the Sefer Avotim, it was a reinforcement of it. But I think in the Rambam's whole presentation of Yom Kippur is a massive testament, to this principle. And that is that, while there are differences between Shabbos and the, by the way, the Ein Bein in Megillah, if I'm correct, this is, which is the Ein Bein, Shabbos Yom Kippur, isn't an exhaustive list or a narrow, exhaustive list, or just, some sort of a prominent, statement, but it's more like a formula. So I think it is fair to wonder, or default to assume, that the other eight pains are that as well. I don't know whether you have to conclude that way, but certainly we want to. So what's the eight pain, what's the eight pain of Shabbos and Kippur? Yeah. Exactly. The Chomer of the Onish. That's interesting. And again, there's a whole literature there too. What about, for those who are convinced, what about Ner Shoshanas? Nobody says that. But what about, Zuna Shoshanas? And what about, at least we did Onik? Right? And what about Chiluk Malachos? According to those Acharonim. Think, what about Eruv, the Hotzah? If that's your conclusion, Rafa, there are other differences, clearly. So what's going on? Also, just a little bit, by the way, problematic, according to the Yerushalmi and Rashi Tosfos. Correct? Binyamin? Which Yerushalmi? Which Rashi? I said, the Ein Bein of Yom Kippur seems to generate problems for Rashi tells us in the Yerushalmi. No? He's saying, what are you talking about? That's very fair. Hey, Tom? Stephen? Noah? Somebody's got to get this. Go ahead. No. The what? No.
The Rashi tells us in about the first entry. They say that.
Exactly. Exactly. Do we even need to explain anymore? Go ahead, Noah, explain.
They say that the reason it's not implicit is we're not discussing any people in Babylon, and it's not a critical distinction to note. So why does the Mishnah have that Yom Kippur mentioned?
Yeah. I mean, again, the Rishonim and Rashi and Tosfos both address the question on the first evening of Yom Tov and Shabbos. Right? Why don't we mention, you know, that this is the Malkus and Shabbos is the Nisan? So the response is, oh, we're not talking about ocean here. You know, we're talking about, you know, items, you know, that are us or winter. So again, it's not a stira. I mean, you could say, oh, the inbid are more central inbains, you know, or the, you know, since there are bigger looking, so those are the ones that we're curious about. And in Yom Kippur, it's a narrower distinction, and therefore, you know, we narrow our interests. But it is a little bit strange. Saying that the Pshat Yerushalmi or Rabbeinu's, you know, we don't care, we're not going to use motion, so the next edition over, the very next edition, we're using motion. But if we suggest that the eight veins are more, not technical, right? But it's not like a trivia game, you know, like, you know, what are the differences? It's good to have a trivia game too, but the differences are differences that are characteristic, that are defining, you know, that also provide a foundation to understand other distinctions and other even commonalities that are in a different way. Then you might say the different things highlight that. It's still true, of course, either way. You know, there are less chilukim, so you can have a narrower chiluk. But it still might be, so the alternative is to say, well, Yom Kippur really is the same thing. So here we're just, you know, looking for, you know, distinctions. You know, Shabbos is open, the gap is greater, and therefore we're looking for a principle. You could say that, I can't prove that that's not the case. But it also just could be that they're both about the principle. There is a narrower, you know, a range. You know, but maybe that narrower range still is highlighted by the principle, which I think it is. Anyways, the point is that maybe in Yom Kippur, the whole Yerush Shabbos, etc., the whole idea that there's no Hatter Abul Mamash, again, if you hold it, then it's it, and Shabbos Hare, and those Rishonim understood that it's about, you know, the Chiyuv Simcha Sunda. So then the absence of that on Yom Kippur is obvious, frankly. But if you say that it's about the nature of Yisur Malacha, especially whether it's intrinsic or it is, you know, for the sake of, you know, a whole, you know, Tzuraziyon, Ruach Hayom, etc., etc., so then, in theory, you would have thought maybe Yom Kippur could also have an Hetero Chol Nefesh. Right? Maybe not L'Shem Suda, maybe, you know, L'Shem other things. You know, Devarim Mashalim L'Chol Nefesh, whatever. But if the point is that it defines intrinsic Yisur Malacha as opposed to a more functional, you know, framework providing, you know, bid, so then you're not going to have it. Because this is also intrinsic. I think one of the points also is that you're going to accentuate that in Yom Kippur. And then it's out of order. Okay. Anyways, I think there's a lot to additionally discuss in this context. But, our time is getting, I do want to finish the final part. So let's discuss the final point of the Pitaka. So the Gemara says, Shema Yina, from Ibn Kibat Las. And the third one is a Milsa Pitaka. Okay, good. The problem with that, of course, is, Stephen? The Gemara Leva. Because the implication of Abram Base is what? Is going to allow you to do Sreivas Chametz on Yom Tov. And yet, the Gemara, so if you read the Gemara for us on the Leva Leva? So what do we have here? Gemara says very clearly that what? You have to do something in order to make sure that there'll be no achiva. But aside from that, you can leave the chametz, you know, alone. So the question, of course, is a dual question. Okay, namely, Stephen? Number one, why can't you burn it because of Pitaka? Especially based on the Gemara not paying the base. Correct?
Yes.
Right? That's a question. All Rishonim are troubled by that question. The second question, of course, is. Exactly. I mean, what about. And maybe the related questions. What about Bar Yorah Bar Matzeh? Why aren't you worried about Bar Yorah Bar Matzeh? The Pashtus Kofel of Sakli doesn't do anything more than. You know, what you have in Kachin, right? And that's Inchi Bidili Minei. Of course, in Kachin, there's no problem about your Rabbi Yonze, because Shalchan Yatoran Torah Shalchem Shalchawa. Okay, but it doesn't sound in the Gemara, you know, that that's the point. It sounds like the only difference, according to the Gemara, is the fact that in one case it's Bidili, and the other case it's not. So the question is, and they might be related. Number one, why can't you do the mitzvah of Tashbisu given the principle of Pitaka, which we do Paschal like on Pesachal? And number two, if you know, what about by Rabbi Matzah? What are you going to do, you know, about by Rabbi Matzah? Right? That's the question. So, right, this becomes an interesting issue. There's one day of the Rishonim that simply denies the Sira completely. What's that? Whose day is that? Excellent. When you have a line there? One day of the Maram Chalapa is of the opinion that we should reread. What do we reread? Bava Dalla, Amadeus. It's a pretty radical rereading. What's the radical rereading? Oh. Right? Havagav in Parsha Tamid Rabbi Akiva is the one who we talk. The Ilo Anan Kaiman Kabez Hillel. So he, what did he say? The Stabrali Daidi Rabbi Kiva. No Palagadi Don. Echav Shal Shomik Eisol of Avaka De Shammai. So what is it? Yeah, we'll get to the rest of the Maruk. afterwards. But that just should be, according to that view of Ramchal, it's a very radical rereading of the Gemara. We're not saying that Rabbi Akiva doesn't believe in any Tok. How can he go against Vesila? We're saying he thinks that the Tok doesn't apply here because it's not sufficiently Tzarachayim. I'll have to figure out why is that. I mean, given Ram Kalam's own view, we'll see. That's a very radical rereading. The Pashtus, there is a sphere between Adam and Beis, you know, and Vavav and Aleph, right? And it needs to be somewhat reconciled. Okay, so what does some of the Rishonim say? What does Rashi say in Vavav and Aleph? So again, the Rashi says, yeah, let's read the Rashi just quickly. Kovalo is a kli. You can't do tilt. So what does that mean? You can't do mukt. Or do tilt the one. Okay, tilt is the drama. So it's also strange. So the question to discuss in Rishonim here, where we find different views, is that this is a din. In Habidu Devarim on the Great Torah, the Bach on the Great Torah, which is a fascinating, you know, Shas issue, right? And actually, later Sukkot of Psachim, dealing with Dinu Drabanan that prevents you or preclude you from participating in the Korban Pesach, Orel, you know, things that you need Hazah, a bunch of Drabanans. Right, that's one of the main subjects, but of course it's all over Shas. It all goes in the Mila, again later on in Psachim. Throughout Shas, you have these questions as you would expect that you would. You know, we take Dinu Drabanan very, very, you know, seriously. And sometimes we say, you know, Dinu Drabanan, I feel the Mako, you know, the rest. So the question is when yes and when no. Right? Does it depend on Be'inni? Does it depend on the Chomer HaDravah? Does it depend on the Chomer HaDravah? So we're not going to discuss the parameters of that. It's a fascinating topic. It needs to be discussed, you know, on two levels. Number one, where we understand Drabanans, and number two, the universal laws that govern clashes. Right? Because clashes are not only about Drabanans and Drabanans. You know, what about two S's that clash? What about an Ase and a Los Ase that clash? What do you say Ase and a Los Ase? Right? We have that a little bit even in our Chag 11. You know, our Chag 11. So these are general, it's a general question. And then the, you know, a particular application of it is when there's a discrepancy between Drabanan and Drabanans. So that's one big, massive topic, and we've shown him here, and Achron up here, you know, weighing in, our Chalava, we'll see what they say just about locally, but of course this is the tip of the iceberg, because can it be that Toto Moksa is going to, you know, trump, you know, either Tashbisu or even Bahiwai, right? So Kubasei, Shalom Tasa, what are the factors? But of course this would only be a problem if the assumption was made that we're dealing with the Darais at the beginning. Okay? So anyway, Rashi weighs in a little bit, keep going. Miu. So what's the end part? We're talking about post-Gibbon. Okay. How does Tzolah HaTzolah actually know that?
From Avodin Tzor Shivata, so I guess the part you did is Zikarayin.
How about Tzor Shivata? Okay. And also, I think just, we can start with that, which is like Tzolah's Rashi and Nisim, sorry. You know, just can't abide the Tiltol would have been Ma'akim, Ba'irah, you know, if Tiltul is responsible for Ba'irah, you know, it's interesting that it doesn't see one on the Tashbisa. Okay? That's also interesting. The implication is that if there were Ba'irah at stake, if there was no Bittul, then you would override tilde in this case. Okay? The butle the mi bebe et mo kere bilu kama parzor shiva. Fine. Elo bishim shal yishka v'yachlenu, and for that, kviyas kli is good enough. There could be another way to solve the problem. Right? One is if you assume that muktza or total, you know, even the bokal ma'iva is, you know, determinative. The other, of course, is to suggest that maybe there is no ma'iva, even in the absence of bittul. Right? Ezra, how's that possible? You didn't do bittul. Say that a little louder? Meaning, but not exactly like Tosafot Ches, but Tosafot Ches is about where, you know, time, you're actually doing, you're involved in the Tashbisu, right? That's what you mean, Chazon Havai. So the Tosafot Ches. So, but there you're actually involved. So you have to go to this, I think you're totally right about the perspective. But you have to just adjust it a little bit. It's hard to say here. Stephen? And what? That is no. Okay, if say by your moments is Yahweh Achilah, and here you're taking care of the Kotel as a clean Achilah part, that would certainly help a lot. But it neutralizes the Yahweh. Okay. But I think that definitely would work, and there are Rishonim all that. So that would work for them. Let's go back to Ezra's idea for the moment, which I think is a good direction. Right? But I just want to fine tune it. It's not exactly Kalachozor or Kalavara and Kalavur. Josh, but what is it? It shares something in common with him. Correct, exactly. Meaning, instead of saying, you know, you could draw a line in different places. So we could say, you know, when you're actually involved in Tashbisu, there's no Ma'ira. But what about going a step further and saying, only when you neglect Tashbisu is there Ma'ira? And that could be explained, as we talked in the past, from the very beginning of the year, in different ways. It could be something to onus. Maybe there's a patrol, it's for Bayra. That's, you know, from Misasa's, honest, whatever it is. That's questionable both on a Bayra level and on a Misasa and honest level, like we discussed at the beginning of the year when we repeat everything. Or you could say that, you know, maybe honest wouldn't work, or maybe it would work, but maybe you don't need it. Because if, maybe something, again, more specific, if the nature of Bayra is the neglect of, you know, it's rotzei kiyum, or it's ignoring tashbis. So you just, you know, your hands are tied because it's a tilt. So either it wouldn't work, you know, or you don't need it. But for Rashi here, then, it sounds like Rashi thinks that, you know, tiltol, the Rabbanim, cannot stand in the way of Bahiwa. So is that because Rashi holds that Bayro is an objective? Right? Meaning there's no Toronus, and there doesn't require active neglect? Or is that because Rashi holds that Tiltul doesn't constitute a basis for onus / the absence of neglect, given that it's only due to Rabbah? Hard to know. But it's a question to think about. Okay. So either way, in terms of the bigger picture, Rashi does, according to Rashi, is there a stira between Ehem and Ehem and Ehem and Ehem? Stira? Not really. Right? Because the assumption could be that Ehem and Ehem is the lead bit all. Right? And Ehem and Ehem is, you know, where there is bit all. So the urgency is left. Okay? That's Rashi's, you know, attacking it from a Bitoch point of view directly. But based on what she says, right, there's a basis to explain all of this. Oh. What about the Ran Alatar side? Yeah, sure. Luke 7,
Rashi said, Rashi assumed that there was a mitzvah here.
Yeah. Right. No, no, no. Remember, in that respect, I think, the answer is simple and touches on something which is more fundamental, maybe, for our Rishonim on a top level, but not here. And that is that we're talking on Hebrew days about a Lekatechila way to understand the mitzvah of Hashmis. Right? We're saying, is it conceivable that Tashbisu is going to apply beginning Yom Tov? So there, the assumption that there already was a Bittah is not a fair assumption. Whereas here, in Prabhupada Aleph, we're working with the reality that, already Erev, Karamatos at Katzos, you had an obligation that typically you would have at least that mental. Now again, I think that distinction is obviously more crucial for other things, but I think at least that solves that problem. Okay. What does the Ran say on fire? Is that? Relates this part of Tosis in general, as is the Ram, right? Tosis here, by the way, which you just mentioned. Tosis here on Hamad Beis, when it says Shmamina, that there's no Mitzvah, what is it supposed to say here? On Hamad Beis? The little Tosis. Lo Min Mitzvah. Tosis assumes that Bir Chabad, certainly Hayam and Beis, would be considered Tzarech. The need for Tzarech His self-notice, what we know it, is self-sufficient from Shas against Rashi and Beitzah and Beitzah. And it seems like Rashi holds that you don't need Sorek, Hayom, even Pitzas. It just shouldn't be a Malacha Sakhala, it should be a Malacha L'Shem Kol, it should be L'Shem Kal, L'Shem Akum. But again, Tosfos understood Rashi in even a more radical way, that it's worked for the Gemara. I was trying to suggest the other day that Rashi didn't mean that. Rashi meant that the Torah spites the Yom Tov, right? It's what it has to be by the Yom Tov. And we're going to get back to that in just a second as well. Tosfos didn't understand Rashi that way, that's why they piled on the questions. And Tosfos Shita is that you need Torah Ktzas. Then, of course, within the world of Bali Tosfos, there's a separate fascinating discussion. And that is, since that became the dominant view, what's the criteria of the Torah Hayom? And that's a double issue, fascinating double issue. Right? Number one, for purposes of applying Mitok, you know, what level or criteria is applied to be considered Torah Hayom? The second, of course, is in assessing particular Torahs. Right? If you can take Torah, it's plural. How do you assess certain things? Like you can take a walk, you know, with a child. You know, how much, you know, is that considered uneb or simchas? Like, well, what is that exactly? Right? Or being sorev from a tenei or a kachin, you know, beyond that. So there's a double question. There's a, what do you need, what sort of ktas level do you need for mitoch? And how do you assess? Somebody said, you bring your machzor to shul, and you know, you're going to have a little bit of anxiety, you know, if you leave it there, right? Because you're attached to it, because you're worried somebody mistakenly will pick it up and, you know, take it. Right? Is that called ktsor ktas? Right? A whole bunch of issues. We'll get to that. So, what about the mitzvah of the Rabbana? Right? Of getting rid of the chametz, even if you didn't get them. Right? There are two questions here. How urgent is that? It's not only a question of the level of urgency. It also may be, you know, what is the nature and character of this? I'll explain in just a second, a bigger idea. Right? And what do you need? What level do you need? It just shouldn't be Malacha Sakhala. It should just be, you know, Malacha Sayom. Does it need to be Malacha Sayom or just not Malacha Sakhala? Let's say you're going to do a mitzvah. See this in a minute. You're going to do a mitzvah. But it's not a mitzvah that's particularly related to this day, as one thing. Maybe it's not even related to this day at all. Because it's a mitzvah that you could do in theory at other times, right? So both assessing it and assessing the requirement of the Tzara Ketzas becomes a very complicated question. Huge, huge literature about this question. So Tosfos here, on human days, it's important that Tosfos says that the mitzvah of Tashbisu and Yom Tov would certainly be considered Tzara. Like Barashi, possible that the question doesn't even, well, we'll see, no. You know, or put this question is less urgent. So then Tosfos in Ksuvos and Zayin Ibn Aleph, the whole Tosfos in Zayin Ibn Aleph is consistent with the Shas view of Bali Tosfos against Rashi, which is Yim Tzorach Hayom, Tzorach Ktzaz, something, right? Pirush Tzorach, Ochel Mepesh, Kutin Amishel Tzorach, Ochel Shabbachi Tzorach, Hanaz Hayom, Otzorach kiyam a mitzvah b'yomto, kaidi otzorach kata b'bula, sekatol likros bo, lula lasu. Those are more obvious. Right? But what about, although again, you know, lula lasu is part of the mitzvah siyam, of chag. You know, the mila, it's not a bit of yomtiv, but mila b'zmana, at least as it did in that particular day, right? So that's interesting. What about the Shavuot? get that in there. Same totally gross though. Part of the key, you know, maybe it's not given sukkahs, although you are reading the parshat sukkah. So maybe it is. Or maybe it's fine. This is a generic thing, Yom Tov. Right? It's not Samhain stuff that you're doing. Lokavot Zosabonim, what about Ophim Yom Tov Kal? Right? The Loka, the way it's like oil. What about Shkipa Solas Nav? He's already getting it. Or Yimavashal Gidanash. You do either Misurin or you do neutral. How's that? Are those? So in a goof, Tarakhanyam. So again, I don't want to get too involved, it's a massive amount. I just want to heighten everyone's, I guess, sensitivity to the fact that there are these huge controversies and how significant and interesting they are. Okay, but then we get to, like, the problem. I should have, I got us to this point. So, go ahead. No, so now we're up to the boats that come to Tapesa, right? In Tulsa 6 service. Yeah, boats come. This is, I should, it's like a little hypocritical, but if you could speak a little louder, even though you don't have a microphone. But the boats that come to Tapesa, huh? Ooh. So again, it's tilted, but now we'll see how much counter pressure there is. Is a mitzvah sreifa, an isa sreifa, only drabbanan though? Mishum boksa. Not in the rice. Why is there an isa in the rice? Go ahead. Oh, so then Tosis disagrees with the Ran. It's a second, correct? And Tosis says, even if there, again, Tosis here is rejecting both Rashi and Ran. Right? Tosis is saying that from a Mitoch point of view, or maybe not Rashi, we'll see, from a Mitoch point of view, right? The mitzvah d'rabbanan, even if there is bittul, would also justify tzarek tzas. And Rav thinks that's wrong. Right? So he basically says, so what is the problem? The answer is for Tosas here, what's he building up? The tiltul, the Yisra Mitzvah. Right? The also so far with d'rabbanan, the Yisra Mitzvah, the Yisra Tiltul overwhelms even a legitimate mitoch, which would include even the drabbanan. So it's like a double argument. In other words, even if there's no bittul, according to Tosis, and therefore there's a tashvisu, you know, a kiyum tashvisu d'oraisa, even then, the tiltul part is immovable. Correct? Which is not true, according to the Ram. On the other hand, Bittol would apply, even though it's in the Ramban, there was Bittol, so it's a double argument between Tosas and the Ram. Avlei lo medar kishadiplo, kum kum zirabana, avatarchan mitzirabana, and mishalina, is a broader issue. Hei kadiku nemo Bittol. Okay. Good. So there is this, you know, and what about the Ram? What is Rambam hold on this issue? Well, we'll get to that. That's a really good point we'll be discussing it afterwards. The Rambam sheet in general about Hutsah and Havara. The Rambam has in the beginning of the song, I just don't get this right now, but it was also brought up very correctly. I think by Ezra, right? The other day, Ezra, because he was trying to suggest that, you know, his own saw Navarro really even Mitoch. Yeah, so I don't want to get into it right now. But the rabbi in the beginning of the Sefer seems to have three categories when it comes to Atrof HaNefesh. Right? One is Havara Vatzah. The other is, I guess loosely you'd call them, you know, Malecha Sokol Nefesh. You know, like Bishol and Lishon, things like that. And then the third one is, you know, what about doing Bonen Kosein, things that are not Malecha Sokol Nefesh, but doing the Litzorach of Malecha Sokol Nefesh. So the Rambam Shita is very fascinating. And the Amdullah calls it the mission, the guest mission, it's like a field day for the Nosakim. Where did Rambam get these three categories? And what does he really fully mean by them? Like, what is the relationship between the Shem Malacha and the Tzorech, you know, the Matir part? And is the Tzorech part an independent factor? Or is it, you know, when there's Tzorech, so then the Shem Malacha, you know, changes. It becomes all Lechzal Nefesh because of the goal. So that, let's leave that aside for a moment. Well, that's very relevant. I mean, what is the Rambam's view about Kofel Lavas HaKli? Pargim Alav Kress, we've talked about it. Right? That's famous somewhere around Lachza Balayot, right? We are going to have to stop in 2 minutes. I guess we'll have to finish this. This part will certainly finish. Keep forgetting the beginning of this is an apocryphal. I thought it was just on poor night that was upside down. Okay. But apparently not. The lasting impact of Purim. That's what Rambam meant when he quoted the Rosh Hashanah. Right? Okay. Anyway, the Rambam of the Sefer I'm talking about is, of course, the beginning of the Sefer Tzaddik. Here, just mention very quickly. Havalachas Kayom of Shabbos im Asel Sobiyantov. Shalom Tzor Kachila, Lok Kutzman Tzor Mishus Rishus, Vavara, Shemi Tokshu Tzor Tzor Miyonta Tzor Kachila, Kutzman Shalom Tzor Kachila. Fika Kutzman Miyonta Tzor Kachila, Tzor Kachila, Mafheach, that's an interesting question. Can you take your keys with you? Right? Can you take a child for a walk? You know, Kutzman Mishus Rishus. Chim Butal Havir, Af Mishenu Tzor Kachila. And he says, the sharp malachos, kol sheyesh bo tzorech achila. But does he mean here, you actually have a tzorech achila, or are there malachos sheyesh b'ham tzorech achila? Kivon shechita l'pi elisho ki yotzeh. Kol sheyesh bo tzorech achila, asur, kivon ksiva amigo binyan v'kayotzeh. So does he mean here, without the tzorech, or even with the tzorech? Okay? So this is a huge debate, you know, in the Nosakelu, Alatar, and beyond. Because it's like a massive discussion. What is she just about? I think it all works out well. but I wouldn't say take my word for it, but take somebody's word for it. But it's a topic to pursue. Next round is also fascinating. Kabbalah of Shosha Vassals, May Erev Yontiv, Leiva Hesed, Belochisaru, Ibnasis, in the Arab, also Kakamalasis, Yonta. Is that the Raisa? That sounds like a bit of Kakamim. Afobishim Tzorach Achim. This is, of course, the issue that engaged Rashi Moses in the beginning of Eight Tzad, that I referred to the other day and pointed out that, you know, if you only had each of these arguments in isolation, you might have been inclined to look at Rashi Moses' view as being contradictory. Like I said, that your base sounds like Rashi's a Hutra and Tosis is a Kuyu. And on Tzalam and Chavdalim, sounds like the opposite. Sounds like Rashi, you know, is not Hutra, it's only the Kuyu. Whoever requires greater urgency or an alternative. And Tosis is more like Hutra. But let me explain better. Anyways, this is the part of the discussion. In the Puskam Tzalatza, go ahead, Dave. But Pergilah has. Here around he says, go ahead. Yeah, you have it? The Fika, yeah.
Yeah, Fika, in the future of the
Yeah. So what is the implication? The Paschal is Gemara. Is it only Belibito?
Well, he specifies that there is no bito.
Well, he says if there was no bito, there would be Bahira. Right? And then he says in Hotel Bioto, Kofal of Kli. So it's not clear. Right? So here you have, again, I'm going to try to finish up in over a minute. So I guess we'll finish this on Sunday, but I just want to leave you with the bigger idea before we conclude, and then it's fleshed out a little more on Sunday, and then hopefully we can also start, and if not Monday, the Shabbat Tariya on Bayua. There's a huge debate here in Yosef Kitten, you know, how to read around that. Paralleling, in a way, the debate of the Rishonim and the Rambam. Meaning, is the Rambam leading Tiltol? Is the Rambam leading, you know, the assumption that there was already Bittol? Of course, how does this fit in to, you know, the general view of the Rambam about Tashbisu, Bahirah, and Kodim's mind, and Lachar's mind? So we'll talk a little more about that. But, again, most of those that are assuming that, you know, the general derech is the same. Namely, we're trying to weigh, you know, the inevitability of Bahirah and the Tashbisa Daraisa against Tiltol, Darabbanan, and so on. However, there is a group of Rishonim that say explicitly, number one, that, well, it's already implicit, I guess, in the Ram, and that is that if there was Tashbisa Daraisa, and if there was Bahirah, then you know, there would be Bittul. And it would be so. And there's also the Shitas, you know, Harajba, the Chumas Harajba, and so on. And then, of course, there's no stira between Hayim and Beis Bavim and Aleph, because just at the conditions, you know, that either allow for mitoch, meaning a doraisa tashbisu, you know, or balyura, or and the impediment of tiltol, which is not a problem at all on the Hayim and Beis. But maybe, you know, even Bamako did Daraisa, you know, solve the problem. So so far what we've seen are some interesting secondary debates about both the Tanakh and the, let's say, obstacle of Tiltol, you know, how far those go in either direction. And so we have, you know, Rashi's different doses, you know, in Xuvus, which is different than the Ram. You know, again, Maran Chalapa discusses this, and we'll just finish up some of his comments also on Mitzvah Shema and Sunday. And a lot of it also came around with all that way as well. What's more intriguing is the view that is quoted in Chuvus HaRashba, and the view that is embraced by the Ritva. And I think, you know, by some of the Achronim as well. And that is to see a fundamental distinction between Hayim and Beis and Bavim and Aleph. Not based on Tiltol, not based on yes, Bittul, no Bittul, and so on. But going back to, this is something that I already mentioned, at least my read of it. I don't necessarily think it has to be understood this way, Rishonim, but I think it's very, I'll explain what I mean. But I think it's very compelling. David, what do you think? What are we referring to? what's the idea of the Raja Rukha? And the idea of exporting Rajma in Chugan, although Nidhkaba, Rajma says, the Khilak is correct, but the Maskana is so wrong. It's fascinating Rajma.
Well, look at all the Shabbos, Yat Hashem, Sunday.
Again, Sunday should be at 9. I'm guessing till around 9:45 also to check our ways. Yeah, go ahead. That was it.
So
what am I referring to?
Right, so I saw on the Ritva that Tashmisu is really.
You know what? Speak to us. You know what? I can make you louder. And then we're going to have Mincha in like one more minute. A, because we should never go over time. And B, because I promised I would try to. One second. How do you do this? Here we go. Hold on 1 second. Go ahead. Hit it.
So could it be that Tashbisu is really a Yudaladin, therefore you can't say Mitok for Pesach because it's not what Tzor Kimtov?
Yeah, that's what I like to say the most. And I think that that's what the Ritva... Do you have a lot of language of the Ritva? What do you?
Just
very quickly. I don't think it has to be read that way. I'll explain someday when I qualify a little more. But I think that's what the citation in the Rajba and what the Ritva really are saying. Go ahead.
So Umihu, hashet ha'kain lan to be or be a dalit, hecha to avar below bit below badak, ena the sorfa biyomto, the kivti agiyah mitzvah kodem, havi kamila shalob izmana, she'ino doka yomto.
Right. Excellent. And what about, you have the comment of the guy in the Rajba? What is it? Chelik Aleph Ayin Gimel?
It's Ayin Aleph.
Ayin Aleph. I don't know why I always say that. Some psychological block, I always give it the wrong number. Yeah, go ahead. He's raising the question. Let's say you find, Chametz on Yantif. Right, what do you do with it if there's no bit, right? You'll read it more explicitly. So what does he say? He says, we should bring a raya from...
The Amma Lamanta Savdamir Mitok, Serpian Mabianto, Midu Kashalan, Bahakrai, the Tilma Hassan, the Kishitim Solomish, his man, Sifasa Biyomto, Kitakamar Hassan, Mabal Hasha, this Manoba Arbas, Artikulyama, Lo Serpino Mabianto, Double Kitabasha Asharla, Soso, Mayor of Yoto.
Oh, that's a great. So again, the Ritva compared it to Mila Shalobizmana, which we'll discuss, and that's a little bit I told you that, I think. I did tell you, right, to look at the Ramban. In Kavamites, Shabbos? No? Or yes? Josh? Kuf Kavdalid, Kuf Lamites? Josh? What? Oh, you didn't hear me?
No, I did.
Did I give you Shabbos? I did. Okay, good. I don't think that's incorrect. Okay, you only need one person to admit it. Otherwise, if you get a chance. I mean, again, not extensively, but just, it talks about Mil Shalom Zmana, it talks about Kaburas Hames, right? Yeah, exactly. It's like Binyan Avonim or something. There's a terrific line. So we'll discuss that a little bit. So that's why I think there's still room, to say some different things. But here, the Ritva's comparing it to Mil Shalom Zmana, which is a Ramban big issue. And in the Shoal of the Rashba, he's comparing it to Efshar Mibodyom. Right? Efshar Sosan Bodyom. Which, again, I think there's more than one way to explain. But I think the big idea is the way David said it, which is where I said it a couple of weeks ago in a slightly different context. And that is as follows. That the Gemara on the Peyam and Beis, again, is fundamentally a paradigm shift. Or a different paradigm, let's say. Maybe Vav and Aleph is a paradigm shift. Meaning that, and this is similar to what I answered before to Stephen's question, But there was more of a technical point. And here it's like a fundamental mitok point. And that is, when the Gemara thinks that the proper time for Tashbisu is Yom Tov, so the Gemara thinks that that, of course, is a din of mitok. I would say, Ein lecha mitok. You know, Gadol mizeh, frankly. I mean, you're on Yom Tov. You're not just on generic Yom Tov, you're on the Yom Tov of Chag HaMatzos. And part of that is that right now, you are on Yom Tov, you are supposed to be, you know, ridding yourself on Yom Tov of the chametz. You know, it's like, you know, carrying the lulav. It's actually, it's not even carrying the lulav, it's taking the lulav. It's the tilas lulav. Right? What are you going to say? There's no netilas lulav on Sukkos. There's even carrying the lulav so that later you can do the netilas lulav. So the mitzvah tashbisu is a core kiyum in not only the kedushas, not only is there no other time to do it or earlier time to do it. It's a kiyum in the yom. That's its zman, frankly. So I would say ein lecha mitok gadol mizeh. The question is, when the paradigm shifts on vav amud aleph or after heaven base, because the kamash malan is, you know, that tashbisu means at chatzos. So now, you know, there's still a couple of issues to consider. Right? One is, oh, it's even earlier, but it's likrat Yom Tov. I mean, really, 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 the din is Yom Tov. But you shouldn't do it on Yom Tov. You should do it earlier. That's one way to look at it. Right? You know, the way that the Meiri and the Or HaChaim were looking at the chatzos. Maybe the way Rav Meir and Yerushalmi Doraisa is looking at the chatzos. Right? It's a pre-Yom Tov chatzos. But it's lekrat Yom Tov. Or no. Is it a din in Yadalit? Is it a din in chatzos at Yadalit? Specifically? Right? Now, even then, you might say that once lechatchila, that's when you should do it, and now you're doing it later, so it's Efshar Mipol Yom. And it's yesterday's mitzvah that you're doing today. So from an Efshar point of view, I think from a pragmatic Efshar point of view, I have to stop. That's certainly the case. From a conceptual, oh, is this yesterday's action that you're doing today? That's an interesting question. Because on the one hand it is, but even yesterday's action is lekrat today. So the fact that today you haven't yet addressed it, it's particularly acute that you address it. Right? But let's say you hold that the, you know, that it's more connected to Yom Yadalit, Dafka, and to the day of Korban Pesach. And Dafka, then it should be done, you know, as a din in advance of Chag HaMatzos. Right? So then it's not just, oh, Lamaisa Befoal, could have, should have done it earlier. It's even more than that. You're trying to do tesva on tesvav. You're trying to do your dalet mitzvah, right? Of course, you can't. You know, it's still ba'yirah and so on, but it's still it's yesterday's mitzvah, fundamentally, and dafka yesterday's mitzvah. Not just that you. I have to keep my voice low. Not just that you could have, but that you should have, right? So that is a very interesting phenomenon. The truth is, in one respect, like if you want to compare, I'll discuss it another time. But if you want to compare it to the Ramban's, you know, Mila Shalom Bizman, or Shvidvar Mshev Shalasos Mibod Yom, it's both better and worse, depending on your point, or the same, meaning, in the sense that, you know, it didn't have to be today, it's the same. In the sense that you know, it has a particular shaychus to today, nonetheless, it's superior. In the sense that dafka was a din of yesterday and not of today, excuse me, it's worse. right? So I think that what, you know, I take it as more of like the way I'm interpreting Rashi and Bates at the beginning of Eight Sun, in the sense that it's yesterday's malach. Therefore, nothing's no hector. It's yesterday's malach. You can't, that's not under the rubric of mitok. It has to be a maisayon. Maisayon. Right? And I think that's the idea. Or it's bilashon hazmana in the sense that, you know, you would think that it's connected to kedushas hayom here. It's not like a bilashon hazmana, but it is a bilashon hazmana in the sense that it's really yesterday's mitzvah. It's even worse. So then the shift, you know, from hayom and beis to vav amud aleph is crucial. What's fascinating is, I think that's what Rich was saying, I think that's what that Joel was saying. I think that's what could be, that's like the best, sharpest thing that could be said. I think that's what the Abnezer is saying in his way. I'll describe, I think it's Shin Tzadihei, by the way. And, although I'm not sure of his, if I like his Raya, but, or his connection, you know, to Masasek B'Pal Yirah, but I'll discuss that very briefly. But, yeah.
Doesn't the I would think that the Shoal and the Rajba seems saying that it's more of like a general thing than the Ritzba specific, like Yadal in comparison to Milosh Luzmana, because the other side of this question is maybe just like we by Mitzvos we don't say Asher Lassus Maravyante.
Right.
Sound like it has nothing to do with the fact that it was Dafka Yadal versus Tistva. He's just saying like a general.
No, he's saying maybe in general you don't say it. Well, I'll read it and I'll discuss it. But, or maybe this is dafka, you know, not supposed to be done in Yom Tov, which is different than, it doesn't have to be done in Yom Tov, but it's not a non, an anti-Yom Tov thing. That's what I'm suggesting. But I'll read it in, I'll read this out. Again, I think that there are different ways to explain this thing. But that's, I guess, the more, what appeals to me here is the bigger contrast in paradigm. One of the things that's appeal, I find appealing about it, is because, again, we're already using that to explain, you know, the Ramban. You know, why Mushbas V'Omeid, you know, is a good argument for Chatzos against Tosfos. Everybody remembers. And it's not a good argument, you know, if you hold that Tashbisu is V'Omeid. Essentially, by the way, this is a question that I found in Rabbi Shmuel Mifalaiza's comment in the Orzarua, which was in the Orzarua, Mechelek Aleph, and a piece on Pesachim, as like the Pesachim, we mentioned earlier in the year. He really asked this question, you know, how could anybody say that, you know, that you could be Mushbeis the Omeid at Chatzos rather than after Chatzos? Isn't that against the Gemara of Rabbi Akiva and Yom Tov? Right, what Rabbi says, and that's Meltzer, I think I mentioned, asked in the Ramban, is Rabbi Shmuel Mifalaiza says explicitly earlier. But I think that the answer to that question dovetails with the answer to this question. And that is, sure, if you think that Yom Tov is the Zman Achiyuv, then there's no relationship between Lifnei and, or at least you could say that. It's not, that's different than it being part of the same day, being Mitzurim in both time zones. But by the same criterion, I would say, Ein lecha mitoch gadol mizeh on Hayom and Beis. Shema mino, mitoch doesn't work. But on Vav Amud Aleph, you know, you're trying to do yesterday's mitzvah today. Not just that it's not lechatchila today's mitzvah. It's not, the character of it is that it's yesterday's. Okay, but I'll try to read in the language just to see if it works better or not. So that would be a fundamental, that would be a double din, basically. It would be a din of mitoch, the nature of mitoch, as well as a din in tashbisu, or tashbisu slash bayra. Okay, so we'll finish with this, Amir Tashem. Sorry, I went over time. I have to do better. But we'll try to finish this up on Sunday morning, so that Monday already we can already start... By you.